Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
And the Oscar goes to...
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 It's The Takeaway. I'm Bridget Bergen, in for Melissa Harris-Perry. Even though we're well into 2022, the 2021 Movie Awards season is finally wrapping up this Sunday. 10 films are nominated for Best Picture, but the race appears to be narrowing down to two potential winners. There's The Power of the Dog, which until recent weeks was the presumed frontrunner. The Netflix film is director Jane Campion's take on the Western. It stars Benedict Cumberbatch as a volatile cattle rancher and Cody Smith McPhee as a young man who subtly stands up to him.
Which pop, Pete?
My father.
Yeah, your father. I guess he hit the bottle pretty hard. The booze.
Until right at the very end. He used to worry I wasn't kind enough, that I was too strong.
You? Too strong? I got that wrong.
And then there's the late-breaking challenger, Apple's Coda, which has won the top prizes at the Screen Actors Guild, Writers Guild, and Producers Guild Awards. Directed by Sean Hader, the film follows a deaf family with a hearing daughter, played by Emilia Jones. Her dreams of becoming a singer clash with her family's desire to stay together as a unit.
You're the girl with the deaf family? Everyone but you?
Yeah.
And you sing. Interesting. Are you any good?
I don't know.
To learn more about what to expect this Sunday, I spoke with Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday, and Allison Wilmore, film critic at Vulture and New York Magazine.
This has been an unusually chaotic award season in terms of all of the, you know, the different awards from the guilds and critic circles that kind of lead up to the big night and they're supposed to give you a sense of what's to come. I feel like at this point, it feels like there's many possibilities. So it seems like right now, it's kind of split between The Power of the Dog, which is the Jane Campion Western, and Coda, which has had this kind of late surge in wins and suddenly seems like it might also be one of the favorites. Mm-hmm. So I would say right now it's going to be one of those two. If I were to vote on what I would like to see win, I would probably go with Drive My Car, as much as I think that would cause the Academy to have a heart attack, a 3-hour, you know, meditative Japanese movie about grief. It's just a tremendous film. And I'm happy that it was nominated for Best Picture. That in itself feels like a win.
Rafer, same question to you. What do you think will win? And what do you think should win?
Well, I guess if I had my druthers, I would pick West Side Story, which I just thought was such a terrific, terrific film. I thought it was really interesting the way that it took this older story of a bygone New York and made it feel new again. You know, the nativist gang versus the Puerto Rican gang. It was a much tougher, much jazzier, much splashier version, I thought. It's amazing to see Steven Spielberg, 75. He directs this movie like he's 25. He's like a kid with something to prove. It was amazing. No one saw it. No one really cared about that movie. I think, you know, young audiences felt like they didn't know the brand West Side Story. They stayed away. It made something like $38 million at the box office. It,
wow.
It really underwhelmed. And I don't really feel like the Academy is behind it either. And you would think they would be because they're the right age for West Side Story. You know, and Hollywood loves to pay tribute to itself and see its old classics redone. But, I don't think it's going to happen. I really still think, despite the late surge of Coda, as Allison was saying, and it did win the Producers Guild Award, which is a very accurate predictor of the Best Picture Oscar. But despite all that, I do think it's going to be The Power of the Dog, this kind of weird, creepy Western from Jane Campion, which is a great film. But for whatever reason, I think people are really behind that film, and I think that's going to be the winner.
Well, Rafer, can you talk a little bit about what is driving this momentum?
for CODA that kind of put it back in the conversation. Even if it's not the winner, it seems like it is picking up a little bit of steam right now.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, and I think in a way, it sort of reflects on what's happening with the Oscars this year, or maybe I should say, what the Oscars are trying to make happen this year, which is they're trying to make themselves into a much more populist / popular show. I think they, you know, the ratings have been down for the last few years, and during the pandemic, they just tanked. I mean, the ratings were at an all-time low last year. People haven't been going to the multiplex. They've been staying home. They've been watching streaming content, and they're kind of forgetting about the movies. And I think the Oscars have had a long history of picking these kind of highbrow movies for Best Picture that people haven't seen, and audiences get upset and they wonder why their Spider-Man movie hasn't been nominated for Best Picture yet again. And, you know, here you do have this this movie, CODA, which was a real a kind of a sleeper hit and a real word of mouth hit. It came out of Sundance. Apple bought it for like this record-setting amount of $25 million. And people have seen this movie. When I talk to other critics, they're all talking about Power of the Dog, of course. When I talk to people in my life, they're talking about CODA. CODA is the movie that they've seen, and they loved it. You know, it's a heartwarmer. It's a family film. It's a feel-good movie. That's the movie they've seen. And so for it to win the Producers Guild Award and really have a shot at winning Best Picture at the Oscars, that's kind of incredible. And it, win or lose, it's an amazing run for that film. But a vote for CODA would really make the Oscars look a little better, I think, than a vote for The Power of the Dog, a film which I don't think that many people have seen.
Well, and Rafer, I'm catching up on all my films this year, but just remind those of us who are in that same boat. You said CODA's heartwarmer, but what's the story about?
Well, the title CODA, which is in all caps, stands for Child of Deaf Adults. So it's a story of a deaf family, but they've got a hearing daughter, and she wants to be a singer. And the family can't really understand this. They're a working class family. They run a fishing boat in Massachusetts. They want her to, you know, take up the family business and help them. They need the help. They need a hearing person on that boat. And they don't understand this thing about singing because music is something that's not a huge part of their lives. They don't quite get this obsession with singing. And so you've got this this tension between the girl and her family. And, you know, it's a little formulaic. We've heard this kind of story before, but it really works very well. I have to tell you, I didn't have to review the film, and so I didn't have to see it. And I wasn't that interested in it, frankly, because it did look a little formulaic to me. But we had family over one night, some relatives. You know, what were we looking for that people hadn't seen but were interested in? We all chose CODA, and, you know, we were all sniffling and weeping and hugging each other by the end, because it really is a great, very effective and really moving film. So, you know, if it wins Best Picture, I'll be very happy for that film.
Well, Allison, moving in a very different way, in early February, you predicted that Don't Look Up would win Best Picture. What's the buzz going into Oscar weekend about that?
It does seem that Don't Look Up, you know, which was a Netflix release coming from Adam McKay, that it is not kind of like dropped out of the discussion. So I don't feel as strongly that it's going to be up there, though I feel also that, you know, as all of us, you know, staring at this from outside and trying to guess what Academy members will think, it is a movie that does a lot of things that I think the Oscars like. It has major movie stars. It has, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence, who are about as big as you can get as movie stars.
Meryl Streep.
Exactly. Meryl Streep. You have, I mean, it's this giant cast of huge names. It is a satirical comedy about a kind of climate change metaphor, which is, you know, something that the awards, everyone likes an award that kind of feels like you're also awarding something that addresses a major issue that speaks to our time. Mm-hmm. And it is also, I think, in its own perverse way, a very flattering film about show business, which is also something that the Academy has tended to like in movies that it's given awards to at the time. And in fact, I think it features into some of the nominees this year. But yeah, you know, Don't Look Up is a movie about how everyone is so obsessed with celebrity culture that they're not really doing enough to save themselves from impending disaster, which is in its own way a kind of a way for show business in Hollywood to pat itself on the back a bit, I think. But, you know, yeah, it's really hasn't been talked about as much. It's interesting as we're going into the end of the year, or the end of the award season, that was a Netflix release. The Power of the Dog was a Netflix release. People are really looking at this year as maybe the first one in which Netflix, which has been trying really hard to win Best Picture, this might be the year it does it. But, you know, with Coda as this late breaking possible challenger, it might go to another streaming platform. So it'll be interesting to see.
Allison, let's shift to a different category, the Best Director Award. Jane Campion could become the third woman to win this Best Director, again, for Power of the Dog. How likely do you think that is?
I think that this is not necessarily going to be one of those years where the same award goes to both Best Picture and Best Director. You know, oftentimes that feels like a natural pairing. But I think that... I think Campion feels more likely to me to be the lock on Best Director than necessarily Best Picture. You know, I think that The Power of the Dog, as Rafer said, is this kind of odd, spiky movie. It's got a lot on its mind. It really is digging into the mythology and the imagery of the Western and then challenging it and subverting it. It's got some kind of big ideas about, like, you know, masculinity and how characters feel kind of trapped by it. It feels like a director's movie in this very powerful way. And I think in some ways, giving her the prize, giving her Best Director, may even feel like a better fit to the Academy in terms of acknowledging it than Best Picture. So I can see those prizes being split. And I think certainly everyone is interested in saluting Jane Campion in some way. You know, she's had this incredible ongoing career, and also this feels like her kind of most prominent achievement, I think, to date, or certainly since The Piano. So I would expect to see her up there.
And yet at the same time, she's had this moment of backlash after her somewhat misguided attempt at a joke about the Williams sisters, Venus and Serena. Do you think that's going to hang over the ceremony at all, or is that just something that's in the past?
I think it probably featured into, you know, the kind of immense calculations that go into how people vote. Yet Campion really had this interesting up and down on social media, I think within the space of a few days. You know, Sam Elliott said a few things about how he didn't think the movie was really a Western, and kind of complained about Benedict Cumberbatch's character, and, you know, and said things that kind of felt like they were kind of challenging Campion's right as a filmmaker, non-American filmmaker, to make a Western, especially one that was not filmed in the US. And so it was interesting to see social media sentiment be very much on her side, you know, especially when she responded in the red carpet and kind of witheringly responded. Then, you know, she made this very, I think, kind of ill-timed and ill-chosen attempt at a joke, you know, involving the Blame sisters. And yeah, there was a real kind of swing against her. I can't imagine that it's going to feature into the ceremony at all. And she has apologized, but I think all of those little moments do seem to kind of factor into ultimately how people decide to vote. Mm-hmm. And so it's really hard to say how much that will have an impact.
It's interesting. Rafer, in terms of other pushback, there's the decision to give out awards for 8 of the categories, including Best Editing and Best Score, prior to the actual live broadcast this year. I think you have some opinions about that. Is that right?
I do, along with many, many others who have opinions on this, as you might guess. you know, to a lot of people, if you're sitting at home and, you know, you got to sit through the Oscar for documentary short, and you got a live action short and sound, especially back when they had, you know, sound mixing and sound editing as two different categories. I think some of this stuff can sound kind of arcane and kind of technical to people. And so I sort of, on the one hand, understand why the Academy would want to get to the big stuff, you know, the acting categories, director and best picture and animated feature and song and things like that. But, you know, I guess I'm of the opinion that, you know, movies are a collaborative art. And if you don't have the makeup and hairstyling people, your movie's going to look pretty bad. And if you don't have the guy who writes the score is one of the films, is one of the categories they're going to, you know, put before the broadcast.
Wow.
You know, if you don't have score, you know, I don't know, what would Jaws have sounded like without the score? I mean, so I just feel like these are kind of important awards, and almost especially for someone who is, you know, behind the scenes, winning an Oscar is a huge deal. This is the most important award in their industry. It's one of the most important awards out there. And to kind of give them short shrift and edit their speech and chop it up and, you know, put it in the broadcast, not in front of a live audience that way, it just seems wrong to me, you know. And I mean, there's been a big petition signed by 350 people in the film industry, you know, begging the Academy to not do this. Guilds have spoken up. The American Cinema Editors have spoken up. IATSE, everyone has spoken up for this, but they're going to go forward. They're going to do it anyway. And, you know, we'll see how it happens.
Allison, what's your take? You know, is there a better way to go about speeding up this ceremony?
I personally am not always a big fan of the kind of things that they put in between the awards, you know, the kind of bits of comedy. Sometimes they have musical numbers or montages, which are often lovely, but do feel a bit like filler. Maybe this is an old-fashioned approach, and Rafer and I are not reflecting what people want now in a televised ceremony, but what I want to see are like spontaneous moments from people accepting awards, you know, to see people who make these movies actually react to having their work recognized. And I would like to be able to see those awards. I think that, well, you know, the ultimate question here is like, can the Oscars or can any live award show, all of them have been dealing with this issue, can they really hold back the kind of slow slide of ratings when the kind of audiences are just not as invested in watching live TV, sure. Certainly not in the case of something like a ceremony. So I think there's a lot of panic guiding these decisions, and they feel a bit short-sighted, frankly. It just feels like in the desire to try new things in order to hopefully get more eyeballs on the ceremony, they're really getting rid of and gutting the kind of heart and soul of the Academy Awards.
Stripping out at least some humanity, that is for sure. Let's talk about a new category that they're adding, the fan favorite category. Allison, how is this supposed to work?
So they added the fan favorite category as what is largely assumed to be a way to mention Spider-Man No Way Home, which has obviously been an enormous hit. You know, even when theaters have been struggling, you know, because of COVID, Spider-Man still managed to be this historic hit. Audiences obviously really responded to it and had a lot of investment in seeing those characters and seeing those different actors together. It was not nominated for Best Picture. I don't think it should have been. even in terms of just kind of pandering to an audience, I just don't think it was a Best Picture nominee. But the Oscars were clearly really interested in figuring out a way to include that category or that film in some way. And so they introduced this voting mechanism where you could vote on the website or on Twitter for, you know, whatever movie you, the fan, thought was best. And that has led to basically, I think, as you might expect, a lot of different fandoms battling to get their favorite movie in. I believe for a while, the Camila Cabello Cinderella was the number one pick because of, you know, her following was very passionate in voting.
Well, and it sounds like a Johnny Depp movie that very few people saw has a strong, is poised for to make a strong showing in this category. I did not even know Johnny Depp made a movie this year.
Well, you know, that movie barely got a nomination, and I'm not really convinced that a lot of the people who are voting for it are passionate fans of Minamata, which is the movie. I think it's a biopic about a photographer. But, you know, there is a really...
There's a fandom.
There is a fandom there. They are very vocal and not often very nice online of the kind of devoted Johnny Depp defenders. So yeah, it's been an interesting experiment, mostly in the power of Stan armies.
Well, in our final minute, I have a question for you both just heading into this weekend. Rafer, let's start with you. What are you actually most excited to see happen on Sunday?
I guess I would say I am really most excited to see that Best Picture award. I really think that's going to be a bit of a nail-biter moment in a way that you don't really see that often. Again, you know, this little film going up against a big film. I love that battle. I think that should be really interesting.
And how about you, Allison?
I'm very curious about Best Supporting Actress, which I think is an interesting race and an unpredictable one, and has a few actors in it that I really whose work I really enjoyed. And I am also a big fan of the new West Side Story. I thought it just did incredible things in terms of being in conversation with the first film, in terms of updating it, in terms of giving this new and kind of richer context to the story. And I thought Ariana DeBose was incredible as Anita, and she would be my pick, and I would really love to see her win, and I think she has a pretty good chance. So that is something that I would love to see.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there. We'll have all the reveals coming on Sunday. Rafer Guzman is film critic for Newsday, and Allison Wilmore is film critic at Vulture and New York Magazine. Thanks so much to you both.
Thanks,
Bridget.
This is Mason from Vancouver. My favorite movie of 2021 was Dune. This is because it opened up a brand new realm of sci-fi to me and my friends, and was an excellent representation of a book previously thought unfilmable.
Hi, this is Susan from Vashon, Washington, and my favorite movie of the year was Don't Look Up. It made it accessible, it made it funny, and it made it really clear that we're looking at annihilation.
Hi, I'm Judy from New Rochelle, New York. I had a lot of favorite movies this year, but what I loved most about the movie West Side Story, seeing Rita Moreno in the role that they gave her, I just was thrilled by her performance, and her singing just blew me away.
This is The Takeaway. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE to comment on any story or give us your thoughts on any topic.
Llámanos al 877-869-8253.
Also, we're on Facebook and Twitter at The Takeaway. Let us know what you think, and thanks for listening.